starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Renee Bruder is a speech-language pathologist with a neurodiversity-affirming private practice near Salt Lake City, Utah. Renee started her career in the service industry before discovering the field of speech-language pathology and going to graduate school. From there, she worked in the schools, but she found that to be unfulfilling and stressful, so she started a private practice. I've gotten to know Renee during her time in the Grow Your Private Practice program, where it has been so amazing to watch her private practice grow to be exactly what she needs. In this episode, Renee talks about how being in private practice has allowed her to prioritize her mental health and self-care. She also discusses how she's embraced the neurodiversity movement and shifted her practice to work more with autistic children and Gestalt language processors. And she talks about her goals of expanding her income streams, hiring, and moving to a larger office space. If you've been thinking about starting or growing a private practice, and you want to make sure that you're prioritizing your health in the process, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. All right, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Sure. My name is Renee Bruder, and I'm a pediatric speech-language pathologist and owner of Heyday Speech and Language Therapy, just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah, in a town called Sandy.
So I am so excited to do this with you, Renee, because I think that you've had a really cool journey to like in your career and then also in private practice. And so can we start the interview by you sharing a little bit about like what that journey to becoming a speech therapist was like? And then tell us, when did you start thinking about private practice?
Yeah. So I consider myself a late bloomer to going to college. I was waiting tables and bartending, and I ran a ski lodge on Mount Hood and did all the kind of service industry things before I really was starting to think about, I need maybe just a little bit more. I remember talking to a guest one night. I was bartending and he's like, what do you do? Anyone that's worked in the service industry knows that question is like, ugh, what do you do? I'm a server. I'm a bartender. That's my job. That's my career. And that question just hit me a little bit differently that time. And I just felt kind of stuck. And so I'm like, I need to change this narrative of where I'm at. So I enrolled in some classes at the community college. I was living in Oregon at the time and just kind of started to pick away at those little math and English courses and really took my time with that. I just didn't really feel like that's where I belong necessarily. Couldn't find kind of what I really wanted to focus on. If you're familiar with Gabby Giffords, she was, correct me if I'm wrong, a senator in Arizona, I think, who was shot. I read her story. And I remember she was talking about her speech pathologist in the hospital and how much she really helped her. And I'm like, what is the speech pathologist? And kind of really started to look into that. Kevin Pierce is also a professional snowboarder, and he had an accident while trialing for the Olympic Games. And again, speech pathologist came up, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to kind of go on this train a little bit. And so I started to get a little bit more focused with school. I moved towards Portland, Oregon at this point, and I was commuting from running a ski lodge on Mount Hood to driving to classes and at Portland State, which was great. I got to go home to the mountains every night, which is nice. And then I really started to do well in school, really started to focus, got my grades where I wanted to get them, did really, really well. And then I decided to take kind of a year off to apply to grad schools, because we all know that that's an undertaking in itself and it's super competitive. And so bartended a little bit throughout that year, got into grad school at University of Utah, moved down to Utah, and then made some of the best friends I've ever had in my life. And then COVID happened. And so externships got canceled. I had 100% only wanted to work with adults. I didn't want to work with kids. I didn't want to play games all day and do all of those things. I did my school externship, but the Monday that our medical externship was supposed to start was the Monday that everything kind of got shut down. So March, whatever that was. Then we had an earthquake. And so it was like all of these traumatic things were happening. So very long story short, I ended up not doing a medical externship. Luckily, I really loved my school externship. Decided to get a job in the schools. That first year, my CF was crazy because I had 75 students on my caseload. I had a CF supervisor who was already just, you know, pulled in every single direction, and it was madness. And I was really just kind of hanging on. I then moved out of that school district and went to another one and started working in early childhood. And so about a year into working in the early childhood program was when I really started thinking about private practice. Just being in the schools didn't feel like it filled me up as much as I needed to. The schools really started to take a toll on my mental health, but just, you know, just being feeling like you're really pulled in all of these different directions. And so I kind of started to think about starting my own practice. And just got the ball rolling with it. And yeah, I quit my job on January 1st of 2023. And here we are.
It really shows like persistence, right? And it shows that you were not content in your life and career, whatever else, right? Like you were probably having a blast doing on the slopes and bartending and stuff. But yeah, you just felt that pull to maybe like do something more or, you yes. know, have a career or whatever else. And so I'm so happy that you found speech pathology. And I think, you know, we all find it in different ways, right? And like I am, you know, as an adult neuro person, like I love Gabby Giffords and what she's been able to accomplish. I remember watching the documentary about Kevin Pierce and being like so impressed with his journey and what he's been able to accomplish. So yeah, we all find the field in different ways, but also how cool that you like found your way to private practice at a time when you really needed to, like for your own mental health. So you quit your job, you started your practice, and what happened next?
Yeah, so started the practice. So technically I'll say I got my LLC in like April of 2022, started kind of seeing clients on the side per your recommendation, and really, really loved just being my own boss. Nobody else to tell me this is where you need to be today. Working out of my car, so traveling to homes. And I also started working for another SLP in our area that needed help. So I was an independent contractor for her. And so I was able to start getting into some private schools and seeing students there. I transitioned out of working out of my car in April of this year. So I have a brick and mortar location now. It's just me. It's just a small space, but it's been so wonderful. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at today, is just in my cozy little office and doing what makes me happy.
I love that. And what type of clients are you working with now, right? Like I know that you wanted to do adults before, but then you kind of got sucked back into working with the kids. So what population or populations are you serving now?
really the majority of them are probably ages 2 to 6. So a wide variety. I have a lot of kids, you know, we're working on articulation. I do have a lot of those late talkers. I would like to start transitioning my practice to more Gestalt language processing. I discovered, you know, a meaningful speech course, took that course. I think I was one of 4 SLPs in Utah at the time. I want to say we're up to 12 now that are certified in that, which is great. So yeah, kind of gearing my practice to kind of swing more that way, working with autistic kids. And I don't really have any older kids. I had 2 adults at one point and I was like, you know, kind of refer them out, which is the nice thing when you own your own practice, you get to kind of pick who you want to work with and how you work best with certain populations. And so it feels really good to be able to structure my day in a way that makes sense to me.
And for people who might be curious about that, what would you say a typical week is for you in terms of kind of when are you working or when are you seeing clients? And if you're able to build in some self-care time and that kind of thing, when does that happen?
Yeah. So self-care was a huge part of why I wanted to start this practice. I've always struggled with depression and anxiety since I was a teenager. You know, lots of things have been happening in the world the last few years, and it really takes a toll on your body and your mind. And I got a great therapist. We kind of worked through things, and I am able to structure my day in a way that really, you know, I see some clients in the morning, and then I have a little bit of gap in the middle of the day to do paperwork or, you know, watch Hulu for a minute, maybe while I'm drinking my coffee, and then a few in the afternoon. And really the main goal when I came into this was really take care of myself first, worry about the money later. I would say I'm more of a part-time caseload. I definitely could take on a lot more clients. It hasn't been difficult to get clients here, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But I really wanted to make the priority to take care of myself first, worry about the money later. The money is still good. I'm making about the same as I made when I was working in the school. So it's not like I'm losing anything. And I have a lot more time. I'm able to give back to myself. So I have Fridays off. I have 3-day weekends every week, or I do makeup sessions. So
I love that for you. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, people are starting to pay more attention to that, right? I think that, you know, in helping people professions like ours, we do pour so much of ourselves and our lives into other people, right? Because that's just who we are at our core. But I think over time, people start to realize that that's actually kind of problematic, right? When you start to lose yourself in service to others, that's what leads to burnout. And that's what leads to people having, you know, problems with mental health and problems with self-care and not having the balance and everything else. So I can say that your story is not unique in that I've talked to a lot of other people who really felt like private practice was something that they had to do so that they could have time for whether it was mental health, physical health, recovery from cancer or any number of other things, that they just don't have that flexibility, or there's so many deadlines or so many, I don't know, bad stuff in certain job locations that to have your own job and be able to set those hours and pace yourself is invaluable.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
And there's so much to learn about private practice. They don't tell you that you're going to be somebody who's building a website and doing marketing and billing insurance. And, you know, you wear a lot of hats. But I also find it's really fun. I got a late in life ADHD diagnosis. And when I tell you that the diagnosis is me to a T, like, you look it up, I check every single box. And I also think that getting that later in life diagnosis really helped me to take it easy on myself too, because for a long time, I'm like, why am I getting so overwhelmed with these tasks? Why can't I just tackle these things like I see the people on Instagram being able to do and getting all of this accomplished? So getting that diagnosis really helped me to take it slower, understand that this is all part of how my brain works, and you'll get there. Like, you'll figure it out. My mom always said that anytime I had anything difficult going on in my life, she always would say, you'll figure it out. You always do. And she's right. I always do.
And I love that. I'm also someone who got a later in life ADHD diagnosis. I totally agree with you that I kept thinking, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this stuff? Right. But just like we're so big into neurodiversity affirming practices, I think we also have to be affirming of ourselves. And so I think that private practice is something, like, back in the day, I used to really think that private practice was only for type A people. Mm-hmm. Right? It was the kind of thing that if you were type A, you would be really good at it. If you were type B, like, this is not for you. Go do something else. Right. But as I started, like, creating my programs and getting to know my students, a very large chunk of them, possibly over half, are actually type B. And they're thriving in private practice because they can make their own rules. And if they don't know how to set up systems, like, I teach people how to do that in my programs, right? But the point is that, like, private practice does not have to be only for those, like, type A, really organized people. It's actually great for people who identify more as type B or neurodiverse or anything like that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I really think it is that preconceived notion where you have to be this, like, type A just to run a business. I mean, I never thought I would be a business owner. That's, like, not words that I put together, but that's what I am today. And it feels really great. I feel empowered. And a big part of that comes from the program. And I fully will tell parents, like, if I go off on a tangent, I'm like, I have ADHD. I'm sorry. Let's come back. And I feel like it kind of makes it a little bit more relatable because, you know, their kids have a lot going on and they themselves probably do too. And they can relate a little bit. And yeah, the neurodiversity affirming kind of movement. And it's just such a hot topic right now. And I really 100% am gearing my practice more that way and learning new things about it every single day and really trying to just accept minds of all kinds, you know, because it's beautiful.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. So thank you for being also a wonderful example of someone who has created a practice and is thriving in private practice, despite some things that in the past might have stopped you from starting or might have, like, you know, made you think you couldn't do it. You can do it and you are doing it and you're doing it well. So what would you say your goals are for the next, like, 6 to 12 months in terms of your private practice growth?
One of my main goals, I think, is going to have multiple streams of income. So right now I have insurance. I accept a couple plans and I accept private pay. So just kind of looking into those other ways to kind of have income coming in. That would be really nice because when I do need to take, you know, a mental health day and kind of move my appointments around, it'd be really nice to have a little bit of a cushion. I would like to move to a larger office space. My office it's like 200 square feet, but I really want to incorporate a lot more sensory activities and just to really help children regulate while we're working on goals. I think that's going to be a big thing that I work on in the next year. I did hire an independent contractor, although we're having a little bit of difficulty getting her caseload put together, but I hired her to work just one day a week. For me, she was in my cohort in grad school and has started her own practice. And so kind of helping her get her feet on the ground with all of that. And then really kind of moving my practice to more of a niche and more specialty, because I started generalist, kind of taking things that I was comfortable treating, but I really want to move towards things that really I'm passionate about. So Gestalt language processing definitely is where I want to transition. I'm going to be offering a free webinar to parents in Utah. There's a great Facebook group, and I had a huge response to just throwing the idea out. So I was like, great, I'm roped into this. I'm going to do it. So I'll be doing that in 2 weeks and yeah, kind of just get my name out there and grow in this community. So.
Oh, and I love that, Renee. Like, listeners, hear what she's doing, right? She's leading with helpfulness, right? Like, so many SLPs and OTs get worried about marketing. Like, I don't want to be pushy, or like, I don't know how to put myself out there, right? But like, doing something like a presentation that's going to be super helpful for parents is an awesome way to get your name out there, because some percentage of those parents may be like, oh my God, like, she was fantastic. Like, and did you notice at the end she has a private practice? Like, I'm going to call her up, right? Or some of them may be like, oh, you know, my kid's still young. Like, I'm going to see a little bit, but maybe I'll call her later. Or other people are like, oh my God, my sister lives in that part of Utah and really needs help for my nephew, like whatever. So like, starting to put your name out there in that way, again, you're leading with helpfulness, but people can like connect the dots and realize that you're a private practitioner, and like, it will lead to business.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about it. I think it's just a different way to market yourself. And also, you know, and offer your service. And marketing is not one of my strong suits, but I think that being able to market in a way that also helps, you know, instead of going to just drop off a flyer or a brochure. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And here's the other thing, listeners and Renee, is that you can create a presentation like that one time and deliver it to multiple audiences, right? So like, think of the effort that you're going to put into that presentation and think, okay, now could I do this at like a school district? You may have to modify it a little bit, but you know, I think that some people think that when you do a presentation, it has to be a brand new presentation every time, which takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy, but it doesn't. So you can create a presentation once, or maybe let's just say you really like this and you want to do more of it. Maybe you create three presentations, right? And then you kind of like say, hey, school district, these are the three things I could talk about. Like, which one do you want? And so I think that's one of the other cool things about speaking is like, yes, you can get paid to speak, but also, and it can lead to clients, but it just helps with your overall marketing and awareness of your services.
Yeah. And I think that a really difficult thing when you're first starting your practice is if you think too far in the future and too big picture, especially for me, ADHD, you get really overwhelmed with all of the things you should do, that you can do, that you want to do. That for me, it's something that I'm going to work on for the rest of my life, but really kind of picking one thing and checking that box, that to-do list. But then also being able to have these things kind of like in your back pocket. Like, once I do that presentation, I'm going to have that recorded and that will always be there. So I can check that off and then just continue to grow. And I feel like a lot of us, I don't know if I can speak for a lot of people, but definitely for me, when you start out, you want to do these great big things. And there was one of your podcasts I was listening to just yesterday. She said, everybody started with one. We all started with one. Don't compare yourself to the people that have, you know, 8 employees and tons of, you know, OT, PT and all of these things. You have to start somewhere, and it is a slow ball that gets rolling, but then it gets bigger and bigger. And it's really been a steady uphill for me, not uphill as in difficulty, but just like steadily building this business. And it's just going in the right direction. So it's really exciting.
Well, and I'm excited for you. And I'm just so happy that our paths crossed and that you were able to find this profession and then really create your own setting within this profession that works for you. And I'm excited for you. So before we head out, can you tell our listeners any place like online that they can connect with you?
Yeah. So right now, my website is heydayspeech.com. I'm also on Facebook, although I don't post much on there, and that's Heyday Speech. And then Instagram at Heyday Speech SLP. One of my goals is to do a little bit better on Instagram. I'll get in a mode where I'm posting, you know, every other day, and then I just disappear. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Renee, for sharing your story and inspiring our listeners. And just keep going, because you've got you know, an awesome niche, and there's so many people out there who need your services. And I'm just, again, so happy that you found something that allows you to have the balance that you need while being able to make the difference that you want to make. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. You were one of my goals, was to be on your show. That was my goal for this year, one of them. So thanks for letting me check that box out.
Oh, gosh, you're so welcome. And before we started recording, Renee said that she had listened to almost every episode. So again, this full circle moment. So
yeah,
listeners, if you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, I would love to be on her show one day, contact me. I'd love to have you on the show. I love featuring amazing private practitioners who are doing all kinds of different things. So yeah, if you'd like to be on the show, send me a DM at Independent Clinician on Instagram and we'll talk soon. But thanks again, Renee.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay. Don't you just love Renee? I love how she identified things that weren't working for her and decided to create a life that she loves and where she can have more flexibility. She is a perfect example of someone who didn't let herself stay stuck in a position or a role that wasn't serving her, and instead created a life and a career for herself that is supportive and flexible, which is not only helping her, but helping her clients too. Remember, you don't have to stay stuck. If you're exploring other settings or career options, you owe it to yourself to try private practice first. You can start small and on the side, and then grow from there. And if you're overwhelmed by all of the details and knowing how to make it happen, we would love to work with you to get set up, started, and seeing your own clients through your own private practice. To learn more about how we can help you, please visit independentclinician.com to learn more about the Start and Grow Your Private Practice programs. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.